This is Market to Market producer Colleen Bradford Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, November 20, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The return of curfews and shutdowns for Main Street businesses to stem COVID-19 spread weighed on the trade for the week. September wheat dropped a quarter cent, while the nearby corn contract added 13 cents. The South American weather report turning wetter tempered some of this week's soybean rally. The January soybean contract jumped 33 cents. December soybean meal increased $6.60 per ton. March cotton gained $2.56 per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, December Class 3 milk futures declined $1.70. A mixed week in the livestock sector. February cattle lost $1.58. January feeders declined by 90 cents, and the February lean hog contract improved 77 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index shed 37 ticks. December crude oil improved $1.98 per barrel. COMEX gold decreased $12.40 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index increased almost 8 points to finish at 372.20. Joining us now to give us some insight is regular market analyst. His name is Matthew Bennett. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, it's good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, Matt. I want to start with wheat, just for the sense of, we talked about weather in South America. We're also watching weather in the plains. There's forecast for rain this weekend there. But there's also a global story going on here in wheat. Which one's winning out, do you think, in keeping the market at bay? Weather domestically or a bigger global story?
Well, you know, I think that the wheat market probably would have more excitement if Australia had had weather issues like they had the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, they finally caught a break this year, you know, and they had a pretty good crop putting wheat out on the world export market. It's tempering prices a little bit. But, you know, $6 wheat out to July is actually fairly priced, I think, in my opinion, if you would rally corn and beans sharply from this point forward, which some people feel like that could happen. I could see wheat trending higher. But by all means, we have to keep an eye on what's going on in the Plain States. I've talked quite a bit lately about the fact that the National Drought Monitor looks fairly similar right now as what it did in the fall of 2011. And so I'm not saying we're going to have another 2012, but certainly if you go into the winter dry, a lot of times you can really struggle to break out of that pattern. And so we got to keep a very close eye on that moving forward.
There's also folks that get concerned in other areas that if they are dry, and that would have been a bigger problem this year had we been dry going into the growing season. So right now, are you holding on some, let's say, nearby on wheat? Are you making a sale right now, and what's your price target?
You know, in my opinion, I like I said, I feel like we're fairly priced. If I sell some wheat in this level, my opinion would be to go long. You know, a limited risk position would make sense, especially given the angst that we have about the corn and bean markets. Because I feel like wheat at this stage of the game, this point in the year, is probably going to be more of a follower. So I wouldn't say I'm bearish wheat necessarily, but if I'm selling, I probably would put something out there in a limited risk scenario.
All right. Sounds like something that some are maybe going to do as we close today at 599.5 on that March contract. Let's go December corn right now. And this corn market, I mean, you alluded to it twice there, the relationship between corn, soybeans, and wheat. What is the wheat story into corn? What's the biggest connector? Which one's pulling the other one right now? Is corn leading wheat?
I've got to think that corn is actually there for a long time. Corn was kind of following soybeans, in my opinion. And then corn basically decided to get an identity of its own. And I think a couple of different things are going on. Certainly, dryness in South America is weighing into both the corn and bean market. Whenever you see the Ukraine crop was downgraded the way that it was in the November report, and then you continue to see things like we saw Friday morning with over 300,000 metric ton of sales. Some of those were to wink, wink, unknown. And we've got to think that that's probably China, you know, and there's a lot of rhetoric out there just guessing how much is China going to purchase. Some of the people that we talked to are thinking it could be that 22 million metric ton or even in excess, as the FAS said. So it'd be very interesting moving forward. But I think corn's kind of working on its own at this stage of the game. And if you watch, the wheat market probably won't fall dramatically as long as the corn market stays supported.
It's got a little bit of support there, as you said, yes. What about that carryout number? For corn, Is that a big factor, or is it still just about China?
Well, Paul, whenever you look at the fact that in August, the USDA was 2.75, you know, for this marketing year. Right now, we're 1.7. In 3 months, we dropped 1 billion bushels. Obviously, we lost some bushels due to the quarterly stocks number getting adjusted lower. It's something I was calling for quite some time. Me and my team felt like USDA might have been a little heavy on the 2019 crop. You could call it what you want, but regardless, we're a billion bushels less than what we were 3 months ago. How heavily does that weigh in? Well, in my opinion, I still think there's some work to do on the export front. I don't think the crop's going to get any bigger as far as this year is concerned. And so 1.7 might be a touch rich. I know the last time I was on here, whenever I was on with Naomi and Ted and Elaine, you know, I suggested that we would be below 2 billion, you know, on this November report. And a couple of them were like, what? You know, but I think they also agreed that we would get there. It's just nobody really thought that it was going to happen this quickly.
Right. And that brings up, you bring up a couple of points there. Acreage battle. We have some great questions that we're going to get to in Market Plus, and also some Twitter conversations that you've been having since we recorded here. So I want to get into the acreage battle in the Market Plus, the podcast or the video form there. But I need to ask real quickly on corn before we move on. Are you selling right now? Are you holding out for a little something more? And what's that target?
You know, the corn market, in my opinion, we've had such a good run. I think we're kind of, you get up above 435 and it seemed like we've kind of bumped up on a little bit of resistance here. As a producer, I've got to ask myself with a really strong basis what I'm waiting on. I have no issue with a producer selling. If they do, I want to retain ownership though. If the corn is in the bin at home, I kind of like the physical commodity. I think it's got a lot of value. I think people are going to really be hunting for the corn. But as far as if it's in the elevator, I'm probably going to be a little bit more of a seller there, re-own that with a limited risk strategy, because I've got to think corn ownership is a good thing for the time being until we figure out what South America is going to look like and just how much the Chinese are going to purchase.
How much more are the Chinese going to purchase in beans, and what's that impact on the trade going forward?
Well, you know, the interesting thing on beans is that, you know, you come in here with a 190 carryout, you drop 100 million bushels and the exports weren't even touched. And some people felt like that if you got that number down enough, that some of that was going to be due to exports. So whenever you lost it all due to production and no export adjustment, it's kind of exciting how much more the Chinese are going to purchase. And I think that's part of the reason why this South American weather is so important. You know, if the Brazilians are not able to export as much as what China would like to see, there's no doubt in my mind, if this weather doesn't change significantly in the next few weeks, the Chinese are going to just continue to purchase U.S. soybeans. So, you know, in my opinion, I think moving forward, it's a tight situation that's probably going to get just a little bit tighter yet.
We have a question from Phil in Dresden, Ontario, Canada, and it's, you kind of alluded to it a little bit about looking backwards and if we knew what we talked about then, what we know now. Phil's asking, the upper grain price levels have defied logic in some ways. Take me back to July 30. Was it clear as a bell then? What were we thinking? What was missed? Will it be beans in the teens in January? And I'm going to let you off the hook just a tiny little bit, Matt, because you were last with us in October, and we were, and you said the panel was like, oh, I can't believe that number below that number. So even harder going back to July, what were the signs? Were they there at that time?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have thought that we were going to rally $3. We have to be completely honest about the situation. If we're going to talk a 275 carryout in August, you know, you're looking over 600 million for soybeans, you know, and you cut that thing, basically you're less than 20% of that right now. And so Phil makes a great point. A lot has changed, though. Whenever you look at the fact we had an extremely dry August and start to September, it definitely robbed bushels for both corn and soybeans. Nobody would have thought that Ukraine was going to be exiting the export market like it had to due to the weather issues they had. And while we all felt like China was going to step in with massive purchases, they had not manifested themselves by the time July 30th rolled around. So you top all that off with dryness in South America and getting the crop planted late. And you've had a lot of things go right for us, if we're totally honest. If one or two of those things have gone the other way, we probably wouldn't have such a massive rally, but it's certainly been nice to see.
All right, real quick. How much more rally is in that tank? Are we talking teens?
If we are, from a producer standpoint, I see no reason. I don't think it makes sense to get super bullish at $12 beans. I like selling the beans and keeping ownership, once again, with some sort of limited risk. I don't want to put much on the table because, you know what, 3 months ago, if you'd have told me $12 beans, everyone would have sold all of them. And now we've got angst about selling $12 beans.
Oh, how quickly things change. And it's also changed in the livestock market. Cattle on feed report today, that has been an absolute up and down ride. COVID has been an impact, went away. Now you're dealing with feed input costs. What did cattle on feed quickly? On feed, 101%, placements, 89%, marketing's 99.9. What'd that report tell you?
89%, in my opinion, has got to keep me pretty hopeful on down the road. I think it'd be very interesting to see. I mean, obviously, you've got to balance this whole COVID fear and what people are going to be going out to eat or whatnot. What we found back in the spring is that when people didn't go out to eat, I think they bought even more beef to cook at home because they could afford more steak. But bottom line, the demand's been pretty darn good. Placements allow me to be pretty friendly Q3 and Q4 up front. Obviously, we've got some supplies to wade through, but I guess we're kind of in the middle of a range, in my opinion. Back to that low, we saw the last cattle on feed in October down around 105, and then you raced up to 116. We're kind of right in the middle of that. I can't get super friendly in the front months, but by golly, I think later on down the road, you could be seeing some real excitement, especially if this vaccine comes through and you start to see people get a little more excited about being able to get out and about and go out to eat and things like that. I do think that this beef demand is going to be very strong on down the road.
What's later for you? February, March, April?
You know, for me, you get into May, June timeframe, okay, and I think you could really see some strength there.
All right. Last week, Sean Hackett, Sue Martin disagreed on the direction of the hog market, and one up, one down. This week, it kind of did both. It went up, and then it went down. That trend on the chart that we've got on the TV screen right now is headed down. Is that line going to continue lower or higher?
That's a pretty tough call. You know, in my opinion, last time I was on, we were looking at some of these 70s and mid 70s that we were talking about, areas we could hit up on resistance. I thought, boy, I'd be a seller in there. And I felt that way. But mid 60s, I don't know that I'm too bearish at this stage of the game. I feel like we've gone down enough for the time being. But at the same time, I guess I'm not going to go out and be buying, speculating on hog prices going higher. I can't get super friendly at the same time. So similar to the wheat market, I guess for me, I'm fairly priced at this point in the game.
Well, do you buy some of the, you know, China coming back online, maybe not as much interest in the U.S. product? Is that weighing on our market?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'd like to see? I mean, this week, I guess, going back to cattle, you know, beef export sales were all-time record. And if we saw more of that as far as pork was concerned, then I could get a little bit more friendly. You've seen flashes of it here and there. It's just we haven't seen enough consistency.
Real interesting there, Matt. I know I didn't tell you I was going to ask dairy, but maybe we'll talk dairy in the Market Plus. And like I said, we've got some great questions coming ahead. So, Mr. Bennett, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, bud.
All right. That will do it for this installment of the TV show we call Market to Market. You can watch the full show again or Market Plus on our website. That's markettomarket.org. And we do have a teensy tiny request. We'd like some space in your podcast feed. We have three different offerings: the Market Analysis, which you just heard, Market Plus, the program that you won't see on TV, that's online only, and the MTOM, that's Discussions with the Voices of Agriculture. Subscribe today to all three wherever that you download podcasts. Next week, we'll look at the economic health of rural America. For all of us here, thank you so very much for watching, and have yourselves a great week.